From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Noe Valley.
We are from K-Word.
We're from the Inner Sunset.
I live in the Inner Sunset.
I live in Sausalito.
Coming up, we'll look at a proposal in Alameda to put a solid cap on rent increases.
There's not a negotiation. There's not a give and take. There's not you said, they said. It's just, this is the number. And that's that.
Then San Francisco leaders and advocates will debate the housing initiatives on this year's local ballot.
This is divisive. This is not San Francisco values. This is not how we do affordable housing policy.
And get your cowboy boots on. We're headed to the rodeo. Hold on to your hats. It's time for Cross Currents. With rents rising continually around the Bay Area, renters might feel they have no choice but to accept whatever price the landlord wants to charge. That or move out, often to another town. Last year, the City Council of Alameda decided to take action to keep residents in their homes. The council put a temporary moratorium on rent increases. After that expired, the City Council passed an ordinance that expanded the role of the Rent Review Advisory Committee, or RAC for short. The RAC's job is to mediate whenever a tenant wants to contest a rent increase. But some Alamedans don't think the committee can do enough to aid tenants. And this election day, Alameda is one of several Bay Area cities with new rent control laws on the ballot, trying to stall the displacement of renters. KALW's Mary Reese brings us the story.
When Ralph Medina's family first moved into their two-bedroom apartment, the rent was around $2,000. Now, he's pleading with the Alameda Rent Review Advisory Committee to slow down the constant increases.
And just so over the past 3 years, I mean, it's on here, right? It's 10%, then 12%, and then now another 4.9%. If you add all that up, it's about 30% increase over the last 3 years.
Not surprisingly, Medina says, his salary as an insurance claims manager has not grown at the same rate. Medina's home is one of several at the South Shore Beach and Tennis Club apartments, where a one-year lease was offered with an annual rent increase of just under 5%. Darren Carrington, who represents the owner, San Mateo-based Prometheus Real Estate Group, explains why they feel justified in raising Medina's rent.
Based on what all of the other landlords are charging for similar product in Alameda, we're still $400 below market, and that's something that we pride ourselves on.
Medina asks the company to give him 1 month's free rent with a one-year contract, an offer he just saw advertised for a different apartment in the same complex. The Prometheus agents decline. They say he could move into a less premium unit for lower rent. But since the two parties can't agree, the RAC takes over to find a compromise. The committee consists of two landlords, two tenants, and one homeowner with no rental property. In this case, one RAC member proposes a smaller rent increase. Then-Chair Brendan Sullivan-Serignana offers what he thinks is at the heart of the matter.
I'm not suggesting that landlords shouldn't get a good return. I think the burden upon a tenant to pay such a high rent increase kind of gets to really the meat of what our role is about.
Alameda's City Council passed an ordinance in March strengthening that role, including a rule requiring automatic reviews of all increases over 5%. Alameda's Community Development Director, Debbie Potter, says this stemmed from a rash of evictions.
People were renters. They paid their rent every month. They were good tenants, and they were getting termination notices. Really, it was to take advantage of the market and increase rents.
Potter says the new rules were designed to protect Alamedans from losing their homes, while still allowing landowners enough income to maintain the property and their profits.
They wanted to design a program that had a big role for mediation and what sometimes we call kind of a hybrid. A little more teeth than strictly mediation, but not rent control because, each case might be different.
So is the process working? Well, in Ralph Medina's case, the RAC members talked about options and then voted for a 3.6% increase, which is lower than the landlord's 4.9%. But their decision is merely advisory. Prometheus doesn't have to comply. A RAC decision is only binding when the proposed rent increase exceeds 5%. After the hearing, Medina said that nothing new came out of the overly long mediation. His landlords still wouldn't budge.
In years past, I've talked to him about previous rent increases, and I've gotten a similar response that, hey, they don't set the prices here, it's all done at corporate, and they don't have any room to negotiate them.
The Prometheus agents declined to comment that day and didn't return our phone calls or emails. Despite the disagreement between landlord and tenant, the hearing was civil. And rent review boards like this one are growing in popularity around the Bay Area. San Leandro's rent review board meets monthly, and Albany is considering starting one. But civil or not, a RAC hearing is still a place of conflict, says tenant advocate Eric Strimling. He believes it's hard and risky for a tenant to stand up to a landlord in public.
In fact, what you're asking is for a tenant to go to the person who owns their home. And the person who can throw them out of their home for no cause, they just give them a 60-day notice and they're gone, that's who you're negotiating with. And if you lose the negotiation, then you pay what the landlord asks.
Because there's no strict limit on rent increases or evictions, the Alameda Renters Coalition, or ARC, collected enough signatures to put rent control on November's ballot. Strimling, who volunteers with ARC, says Alameda Measure M1 would only allow rent increases of up to 65% of the Consumer Price Index.
The intent is to protect the landlord's rate of return. The rate of return should stay the same as when they first moved the tenant in. The landlord agreed that that was a fair rate of return at the time of renting.
Strimling believes that taking the guesswork out of how much rent can go up improves the landlord-tenant relationship, the way that good fences make good neighbors.
If you create a solid cap, there's not a negotiation, there's not a give and take, there's not you said, she said, they said, it's just this is the number and that's that. That takes all that adversarial relationship out of it.
Strimling says he's talked with a few Alameda landlords who support the measure. But it's clear from the number of political signs around Alameda that many don't like the idea of rent control.
It takes artists to do some of this stuff, you know?
Marilyn Shoemaker, a local real estate broker and landlord, is describing the repairs underway in her 1898 Victorian. The sun sparkles through long, elegant windows, but wet patches mar her living room ceiling. Shoemaker rents out 4 units upstairs, and she says they all need continual work.
I've replaced 2 refrigerators in 2 apartments in the last week and a half. One of the bathrooms in one of the apartments has rained in my living room.
Shoemaker says things break down without warning, and rent money doesn't always cover the repairs every year. Plus, the limited rent increase allowed in Measure M1 is especially meager when it comes to maintaining smaller, older buildings like hers.
It's not sufficient for people to live in habitable places.
Shoemaker says the current RAC process seems to be working, though not all landowners are well informed yet about their duties, and some landlords hide behind their corporate name. She hasn't appeared before the RAC, but when her colleagues have...
For the most part, everything worked itself out. I like it because step aside, see what you can come up with.
RAC Chair Brendan Sullivan-Sarignana understands, however, that RAC decisions can't please everyone.
A landlord, an ownership group complained to the mayor, and also a tenants group did. But I almost take heart in that because I'm a tenant, and if a tenant says I'm being unfair, but then also a landlord says I'm being unfair, it makes me feel like maybe I'm doing my job well as a mediator.
The Alameda City Council has placed its own measure on the November ballot. Measure L1 is essentially aimed at preserving the status quo. No rent control, with the RAC continuing to mediate landlord-tenant disputes. If both L1, the city ordinance, and M1, the rent control measure, pass, then only the higher vote-getter of the two will go into effect. Rent control will also be put before voters in Oakland, Richmond, Burlingame, San Mateo, and Mountain View. In Alameda, this is Mary Reese for Cross Currents.
There's a lot more election coverage to help you make sense of this year's jam-packed ballot. Go to our website, kalw.org, to find stories on local measures and statewide propositions. We'll be rolling out new content up until the moment you head for the voting booth.
Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. If you follow the politics of housing development in San Francisco, you know it's been a highly divisive year, with long-term affordable housing activists sparring with pro-growth advocates. The city's ballot this year reflects that divide. There are at least six housing-related measures up for vote. Their outcomes will change policy and change the balance of power on either side of the divide. Last Monday, supervisors and advocates got together to debate all the housing and land use measures. KLW's housing reporter Liza Veal was there and gives us the rundown.
Okay, forgive me. There's no way to do this without dropping a lot of letters on you. I'm going to mostly just talk about Prop M and Props U and P, which go hand in hand. Also, a little Prop C. And it helps to understand the two sides involved. First, there's the pro-growthers, the people who believe we need to build our way out of this housing crisis. More affordable housing, more market rate, more luxury. The point is adding supply. These are the YIMBYs for Yes in My Backyard. This group has really gotten mobilized this year. They tend to align more with moderate leaders, including the mayor, Ed Lee, and in some cases, the real estate lobby. On the other side, there's the people that have been fighting for affordable housing for decades, like the Council of Community Housing Organizations, which is known as CHU-CHU. It's a big coalition of advocacy groups and nonprofit developers like Mercy Housing and the Chinatown Community Development Corporation. CHU-CHU has been instrumental in shaping San Francisco's rules around housing for a long time, and they tend to align themselves with the progressive supervisors. And the difference between this side and the YIMBYs is that this side isn't totally behind all market rate construction. They tend to see the top priority as balance, keeping the right mix of income levels in new construction.
Thank you very much, Dennis.
This applause is from an event last Monday at the Swedish American Hall. Each measure got its own mini debate with two opposing supervisors or advocates and a moderator from the press. Let's start with Prop M. This one's put forward by the progressive supervisors on the board. It would create a commission to oversee housing and development decisions, the kind of decisions that are currently made by the mayor's office, with recommendations from the Planning Commission. Progressive supervisor Aaron Peskin says that kind of smoky, smoke-filled back roominess is why so many housing decisions end up getting protested once they're announced.
And my answer is, if we had an open and transparent body, instead of having litigation subsequently thereafter, we would resolve those things at the front end rather than more lengthy at the back end.
Supervisor Scott Wiener, a moderate on the board, doesn't buy it. He says there are lots of ways to speed up the development process. I mean, this is the main goal of the YIMBYs. But he says adding more engagement processes will do the opposite. He argues that Prop M is, in fact, just one of a bunch of measures that are designed to strip power away from Mayor Ed Lee, a mayor that's been more pro-growth than the progressives might like. Wiener says that out of what he calls the anti-mayor measures,
Proposition M is definitely the worst and the most destructive. And I think it's incredibly cynical. We're mad at this mayor, so we are going to permanently debilitate the office, the institution of the mayor, for the next mayor and the next mayor and the next mayor after that.
Wiener says the commission proposed in Prop M would not be democratically accountable. And in this city, a strong executive office is how things get done. Supervisor Peskin, though, points out that the money that's been raised to defeat the progressives' ballot measures, those anti-mayor ones, it's come almost entirely from realtor associations and individual venture capitalists like tech billionaire Ron Conway. So, in other words, people who have backed Mayor Lee.
Ron Conway, follow the money, is spending $2.4 million against a handful of very common sense reforms. $2.4 million for what? For having democracy?
But not everyone believes that it's just innocent, inclusive democracy that the progressives are after. Some YIMBYs think Prop M is an attempt to maintain CHU-CHU's power over housing policy. Remember, that's the coalition of progressive advocates and nonprofit developers. And some, like Supervisor Mark Farrell, think that leads to favoritism towards CHU-CHU. That's why he's supporting this other proposition, P. That measure wants to change how the city makes deals with nonprofit developers. Farrell wasn't at the event on Monday, but he says,
since 2011, only one umbrella organization has received every single one of our affordable housing grants in the city of San Francisco.
That one umbrella organization is Choo Choo. But that's because almost all the local nonprofit developers are members of Choo Choo. Supervisor Farrell wants to give bigger, non-local developers a chance by requiring the city to get at least three bids from three different developers before making a deal. So it can't just take the first offer it gets from Choo Choo. Supervisor Farrell says that kind of market competition would be good for the public.
So we can get the best bang for our buck, so we can build more affordable housing with the same amount of money. It's the special interests that are getting all the current contracts that are opposing it.
But it's also true that Proposition P is bankrolled by a different special interest group, the San Francisco Realtor Association, as well as the National Realtor Association. And the realtors also designed another measure that's on this ballot, Proposition U. Between the two measures, the realtors are spending $1 million. So Prop P says it wants to bust up the local affordable housing cartel, and Prop U, that's about getting affordable housing subsidies to middle-income San Franciscans. Supervisor Farrell supports it.
Where we have fallen down as a city is to build middle-income housing in San Francisco. We have very much failed in middle-income housing, and we are losing that middle class in San Francisco in a very, very major way.
The city is developing more programs for middle-income housing subsidies. These are things like home buyer loans and rental assistance for teachers and other workforces. The director of Choo Choo, Peter Cohen, he said at Monday's event that the city needs to continue to grow these programs, not just raise the income levels of who qualifies for assistance. Again, Choo Choo director Peter Cohen.
What the realtor's measures does is just take away the units for lower income households and effectively makes them available for middle income folks. It doesn't add a single additional unit of housing, none. Not a single additional affordable housing unit. It just takes it away from one and provides it for the other in the name of middle-income housing.
In a separate interview, Cohen explained that Proposition M, the housing commission we talked about at first, is part of a strategy to defeat Propositions P and U. Because if M passes, it automatically overrides the realtor's measures. In the world of ballot battling, they call that a poison pill.
It was very clear the realtors were giving the middle finger to everybody. That there needed to be some counterbalance to that. So part of it is the Prop M as a way to kind of go toe-to-toe with these P and U measures, which are really caustic.
It's important to note that a bunch of groups of the YIMBY persuasion, who tend to disagree with Cohen, have not gotten behind Props U and P, like the SF Housing Action Coalition and SPUR. So occasionally, glimmers of solidarity shine out in the housing advocacy world.
Thank you all. It's been a long night. For those of you who'd like to have another drink, kibitz a little bit with each other, and we'll see you next year.
There's one other housing proposition that's gotten this kind of across-the-aisle support. It's Proposition C. It's a bond the city would use to buy and retrofit old property and convert it to affordable housing. This one's still got its opponents, though. They didn't get into it on Monday night. It's like Thanksgiving dinner with your family. Some things are just too painful. In San Francisco, I'm Liza Veal.
Find all our election coverage at klw.org. Click Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Here's KALW's Julie Kane.
This week, we're bringing you one of my favorite audiographs ever. It's from a Bay Area event that's been going on for 70 years. KALW's Jasmine Lopez went there with her microphone a few years ago. Here's some of what she heard.
Hello, California! Elvis Presley, Billy Graham, Elton John, the Beatles, heavyweight boxing championships, it's all taking place inside this great building. But you know what? Tonight, it's going to be a heavyweight matchup between the Cowboys and Cowgirls. and the beast underneath it. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you the 2013 Miss Grand National Rodeo, Missy Elliott.
My name is Missy Elliott, and I'm your 2013 Miss Grand National Rodeo Queen. We're at the Grand National Rodeo the first weekend, and we're just getting ready to start our first performance.
She has traveled over 6,000 miles, increasing awareness about professional rodeo and the Grand National and the legendary Chow Palace. One more time for Missy Elliott.
The rodeo families, they travel from rodeo to rodeo, and they all know each other, and all their kids grow up, so it's a really, really good atmosphere, and to have that at the rodeo is the best.
My name is Jenna Moore. I am putting conditioner on my pig. She is 10 months old, and she's a crossbred between a Yorkshire and a Hampshire. And she's going to be showing in the breeder's class tomorrow.
Get your rodeo jerky.
My name is Elijah McAllister. I'm a naturally born cowboy. I've been on a horse since I was 3 years old. This thing is emotional. You know, when you see a beautiful animal, it touches you.
Here, hold the horse, guys.
Nasty Tom, come on. Yes, it's way on. No. Oh, my goodness.
I'm Todd Fitzsimmons, Livermore, California. We came out to watch the rodeo tonight. My favorite part about coming here is all of Northern California kind of converges on one area for the Grand National Rodeo. It's a like-minded way of life. We all feel this way about our livestock and our animals. You look out in that arena and you see the events going on. That's not just an event, that's a way of life.
After the rodeo, we'll be dancing. Oh, it's always good to come to California. Always fun.
Thanks to producer Jasmine Lopez for that great audiograph. And happy 70th birthday Grand National Rodeo. Want to experience it in person? It's happening all weekend at the Cow Palace. Head to our website, kalw.org, to find out more. We're heading to another Bay Area gathering for Audiograph next week. Ready for your sneak listen? Here we go.
This one-day-only appearance brings drag racing royalty to the Bay Area.
This area is designated for Woodies only, and they come from all over the West Coast.
Think you know what that is and where we recorded it? Give us a call and tell us. 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. It's always great to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for playing. I'm Julie Kane.
Thanks, Julie. That's it for us today. Our team includes Josiah Luis Alderete, Lila Day, Olivia Henry, Angela Johnston, Greer McVeigh, Ted Muldoon, Lisa Morehouse, James Rowland, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, and Andrew Stelzer. Today's show was engineered by Ted Muldoon. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by San Francisco singer-songwriter Wesley Wu. Wu appears at the Bazaar Cafe in San Francisco on Monday night. Music starts at 7 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
When I give up on fairy tales and see the fields of greener grass, oh, I take the beauty of the black and white and I'll hold it close, I'll hold it tight and tight.